Hello and welcome to Penalty Box Radio. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, producer Kenny taking care of us as always behind the glass. And we have a fun one tonight, Glenn, because we're going to obviously talk about the Predators, but it's a big time college hockey focus on our show tonight because there's some big stuff going on locally next weekend and has been going on locally with college hockey as well. So just to preface it, we're going to have Lyndon Palmer from MTSU Hockey. Yes, remember, lots of these local schools and SEC schools have college hockey teams. And Lyndon Palmer, he played his local hockey here for the Lebanon Mount Juliet Club. And he is the leading scorer in the Southeastern Collegiate Hockey Conference right now with MTSU. And they're in the middle of their season, getting ready to break for the semester. But we'll have him. We have Mackenzie Steffen, who is with Total Package Hockey. And she went to the University of Wisconsin and is going to come on to talk about the Women's College Hockey Showcase that's coming up next weekend. It's back. It was obviously off last year for reasons. But back in 2019, it was a tremendous success at Fordyce Center in Bellevue. And she actually played in that showcase then in Bellevue. And she's now working here in Nashville and has plenty to say about that Women's College Hockey Showcase coming to Fordyce Center Bellevue next weekend. So a big Thanksgiving holiday tradition that they're starting here in Nashville. But first, let's talk about the Nashville Predators, Glenn. And it's an interesting road trip because remember, folks, the game against Ottawa is postponed for Thursday. So they're heading straight to Montreal and we'll get a couple days of practice in, which would be great. But let's look back at some of the previous games and just where this team is at right now, which overall has been a good surprise for so many people. The team's 7-2-1 in their last 10 games. Granted, They got it handed to them by Toronto, a very, very good Toronto team. Ustasar's doing everything he possibly could to stand on his head to keep the team in the game. And obviously, they really took it to Arizona. They had that overtime win against St. Louis. They had a win against Dallas. So they're getting some good quality wins here, some good learning experiences like they had against Edmonton and now against Toronto. Overall, just what's your take on this team as we are now over a month into the season and you kind of get a good feel where this team's at?
So it might be too early to say this, but actually I don't think it is. I take that back. I don't think it is because in this moment, this is all I can speak for, is that it's kind of reminiscent of the Hurricanes' bunch of jerks season, right? Just this little bit of time because what I'm seeing is a team that is clearly having fun playing hockey again. It's leading to production. They're being rewarded for it. And as we've seen in years past, that's a tough energy to break. I mean, you can, as the other team, you can read plays all you want. But when a team is out there with the energy, the confidence, the consistency, that chemistry, it's kind of tough to beat. And so with this team, I think we're just seeing quite a bit of that lately. Is it sustainable for an entire season? No. But it's getting them off to the right start as opposed to the last few years, maybe when they put themselves at a disadvantage at the beginning of the season. This time, I think that's turned around. And I think we were seeing a lot in the last couple of seasons of, you know, the idea of just like holding your stick too tight and everybody being so. And now I feel like it's a little bit more relaxed in the sense that they are confident in their game. And they're having fun doing it. So that's why they kind of remind me of the Hurricanes in that season of just going out there, aside from the celebrations, going out there and just having fun playing their best game. And so that's what I'm seeing that I love, that I hope they can carry that in or carry that out with them. Even as the season continues to ebb and flow, I hope that they can hold on to a bit of that because I really like what I'm seeing in that.
And speaking of, you mentioned holding the stick too tight in the past. One of the players that is not doing that right now is Matt Duchene. Look at this. Mikael Granlund as well. Roman Josi doing Roman Josi things. And we've talked about him. And we'll talk about him more, I'm sure, in the future. But Matt Duchene has been one of those wonderful surprises for this season because coming into this season, when we were discussing it early on, and pretty much everyone, they were banking on Matt Duchene performing about the way he has performed in Nashville since he joined, which is underperform. But when you have a surprise of what he's doing with 16 points, I mean, three players, Duchene, Josi, Granlund, all at 16 points, that is a surprise to where that explains a 7-2-1 in the last 10 because you have players that are playing above where they have been. Not playing over their salary because this is what's been expected ever since they joined the team. They're actually playing now to more what the expectations have been. It's just we were so desensitized to that with Duchesne and Glendlin that it was, whoa, 16 points in 16 games? There's 3 point per game players out there? That's impressive overall because they haven't been doing that before. But Matt Duchesne, he's even said it's a different feel in the locker room. They feel more loose. So it is a different feel when you go from one of the oldest locker rooms to one of the youngest locker rooms.
Yep.
There was a change in mentality and a change in being pushed, and we've talked about that multiple times already, of being pushed by the youth. And then they're still without Philip Forsberg as well. I mean, Forsberg's only played 9 of the 16 games this season, and so other people are having to step up. Some could step up more than others. Some are still snake bit. But when you have Matt Duchesne continuing this trend, we're almost to the quarter way point of the season, and there's going to be some streaks, I'm sure, but overall Matt Duchesne is playing with what they've expected him to do, and not saying that he's necessarily going to keep up that point per game pace, but I think it's very much doable, and the expectation should be that he should be collecting at least 65 to 70 points.
Absolutely, yeah. And Coach Hines, even when he was talking about Matt Duchesne's game, he said his play just seems more instinctual than it had over the last few seasons. And I think that's a very good way to look at it, because everybody's looking and they're like, oh, he's suddenly become this productive player. But like we said, the not gripping your stick too tight. Now he's starting to show us what we've anticipated him to be. He's letting his natural game come through, playing his game, and maybe not forcing himself to adapt to a certain style that's not his. Not saying that Coach Hines forced him to do that all this time, but he's just finally playing more instinctually. And I think that's a very good way to look at it. And finally, this is the Matt Duchesne, guys. This is the one.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, too, where he just looks more at ease out there as well. And especially with the game winners that he's had and the opportunities that he's had. And he's taking advantage of the opportunities that are out there. So it's good for him. I know people have been waiting for that, the $8 million man. Ryan Johansson just continues to need to shoot more because his shooting percentage is so high. Just shoot more, man. You have those opportunities. He has a great shot.
Yep, and that's something that Matt Duchesne is doing more of now, too.
Shooting more. And there's little things that I noticed as well in terms of bigger shifts. It was near the beginning of the game, and obviously it was a loss against Toronto, but Ryan Johansson had a tremendous shift really early on that opportunity that Tomasino was almost able to bury very, very early on, where he was everywhere. And it's, again, one of those things you're just not used to seeing, because Ryan Johansson is not lazy. I think it's because he's a bigger dude. His stride seems a little slower than others, but he's still moving around. But his back check was able to reward themselves in a play that ended up in a 2-on-1 situation. And that's where he's able to have a great pass to Philip Tomasino, who almost was able to bury it against Jack Campbell. So that was a good shift, too, because it shows he's everywhere. Just like a few games ago when Johansson made a great play at the blue line to keep the puck in. That's what you want to see out of your veterans, is making key plays like that, because the young guys are going to see you doing that and realize, I need to put forth that effort, because if I don't, I'm going to lose ice time.
Yep.
I have to do this because the veterans are doing it. It's expected that I do it as well, leading by example no matter what.
And you're not going to be rewarded every single time, but the more opportunities like that you create, obviously your team is going to benefit. So
absolutely.
Love to see it.
So good test as well. The Maple Leafs, obviously one of the hottest teams. I mean, it was two of the hottest teams in the NHL in terms of previous 10 games. And for something that we thought was going to be kind of an offensive explosion turned into a defensive battle between those two teams. I mean, Austin Matthews getting his goal. Mitch Marner, David Kampf. So this was one of those things, especially because there was an empty net there. So it's difficult.
And it wasn't a lack of effort.
No, not a lack. It was a little discombobulation at times in the offensive zone. And I think a lot of that's because Toronto's so good as well. Juuse Saros, good. He playing off the top of his head like that. And I want to bring back briefly a segment.
Okay.
So there was...
I'm excited.
There was a post in a Predators hockey group. Yes, the one I manage.
Oh, okay.
Someone saying Saros is a god kind of thing, because he was playing out of his mind like he has had to in multiple games to keep his team in it. And there's been this one person who is just not a Saros. Like, I think he's a Saros hater.
Oh, jeez.
And saying it's about playing the perfect game when we need him to. And guess what? Those 10 other saves didn't even matter because he missed two that should have been saves. So I'm sick of seeing the same outcome. He needs to play the whole game, not 10, 20, or 30 out of 32 saves. That's the part of the reason he's supposed to be a starter. So expecting, 100% save percentage every single game.
Every game.
Yeah.
When your team doesn't score any goals.
So more dumb things said on Fred's Facebook.
Oh, wow.
If he could play one entire game without any breakdowns, I'd honestly shut up. But every single night he's in net, you can almost guarantee two goals will be scored. I mean, a two goals against average is not awful.
Because every goaltender in the NHL has 100% save every night.
I mean, it's crazy to me. The expectation that this person has for Yusuf Saros to be a starter. And someone even pointed out, it's like, you know, his numbers right now look similar to Pecorino. He's like, yeah, but he hasn't played anywhere near the games of Pecorino. I'm like, yeah, but right now,
oh my
he's
goodness.
Looking similar to what Pecorino's numbers were. That's what's important, is that Yusuf Saros is doing what he can to keep his team in the game. The offense needs to step up and take care of business and score some goals to support their goaltending efforts. That's what it's been like for how many years with the Nashville Predators. But anyways.
Ooh, I was glad for that person giving us a nice little laugh. Comedic relief.
Dumb things said on Fred's Facebook. Never ceases to amaze me. All right. Up next, Lyndon Palmer of MTSU Hockey is going to join us to talk about what's going on with Middle Tennessee State University Hockey. They're roaring right along in the Southeastern Collegiate Hockey Conference, and he is the leading scorer in the conference right now. Just putting up points at will for MTSU. So that's Lyndon Palmer up next. Penalty Box Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Put your pinky rings up to the moon. Girls, what y'all trying to do? 24 karat magic in the air. Head to toe so clear. Look out. Pop, pop, it's showtime. Hey, welcome back to Penalty Box Radio. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Lynn Blackwell, producer Kenny, and Bruno Mars.
We need to be live on video so
we
you can see these dance parties.
Yeah, we were rocking.
Y'all would love to be a part of the dance party.
That was awesome.
I'm sure they'd love that. All right, folks, let's start our two college hockey segments. Friend of the show, he's been on before, but has made the transition to college hockey now. We have Lyndon Palmer of MTSU Hockey joining us. Lyndon, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going good. How are y'all?
Doing just fine.
Good.
Yeah, doing great. So, I mean, you stayed local, you're playing college hockey now, and you are atop the conference in terms of point production. I want to ask how the transition from high school to college has been, but you're kind of proving it on the score sheet there. But how has the transition from playing the high school game in GNASH been to playing collegiate hockey now?
The jump is insane. Just so much quicker. I knew it was going to be quicker, but I didn't think it'd be this much quicker. I mean, most of the kids have played juniors in the past, so really it's just like playing juniors. And I thought about going to play, but I decided not to. Just stay local.
And what a year this has been for MTSU men's hockey so far. Third in the conference, and you specifically leading the conference in scoring. What has this season so far been like for you overall as far as focus goes? Like, what has been the coach's focus, and was there a specific aspect of your game that you were kind of focused on growing throughout the season?
Coach just wanted us playing, he calls it blue-collar hockey, very physical, and we get all four lines going, and mine and my line mate's job is basically to score. So I've just been trying to bear down on that and just play our game, and we obviously get the job done doing that. So I think it works out.
It has been, obviously, Lyndon, leading scorer right now. So obviously this is something personally for you to be proud of, but this is also something that ultimately benefits your teammates as well. So what has that been like for you, knowing how this is positively affecting your team night in and night out?
Oh, it feels great, honestly. I mean, we have scoring all around the board now. We got off to a slow start, and but these past three weekends we've all been contributing really well. We have players that go out and lay the body, which makes them scared to play the puck. So just everyone's overall play, we have a very well-developed team that can do pretty much anything. So
I mean there's proof in that in terms of the production. Again, Lyndon Palmer joining us from MTSU Hockey. Right now, 12 games you've played, but with 29 points. That's a pretty darn good pace right now for you, Lyndon. And when you are going out there on the ice and you're seeing the opponent trying to level them up, I mean, you play the University of Alabama in Huntsville, their club team, Florida State, Embry-Riddle, University of Mississippi, Vanderbilt, a nice matchup there that you guys were able to split. What has been this experience for you, too, to be seeing different players? I'm sure some familiar faces as well, too, from playing in high school here as well. But what's that experience been like now to be able to travel a little bit with hockey to play other universities and what you're going to have ahead of you, too?
Oh, it's been really fun. Playing Flyers and GNash, especially in the SYTHL, which is what our Flyers team played in, we didn't play the greatest competition, but I don't want to dog them, and neither with GNash. So getting players from all over the country, Vanderbilt didn't have a single player on their roster from Tennessee.
Right.
And so just seeing where everyone develops from is really cool. So
no, that's great. And right now MTSU's third in the SEC-HC, especially out of a conference as big as the SEC-HC as well. That is definitely a big accomplishment right now, basically actually tied with FAU, with Florida Atlantic University, for second overall in the conference, behind Georgia at 20 points right now. So when you look at how this is laid out, are there certain games and teams coming up for the rest of the schedule that you're really looking forward to playing right now?
Oh, yeah. I'm really looking forward to the next Vanderbilt series that we have. Also, Alabama. Those two series, I think, will be really competitive and fun. And then UCF is a great team from what I've seen, and Kennesaw State as well. So really these last, I think, four series, we might have five, I don't really know, but they'll be very crucial considering our record.
At one series at a time, though, right? One series at a time.
Oh, exactly.
I'm sure Coach really just pushes that one right there. So when you see yourself, too, with all these other teams that are out there, how much does it mean to you? Because I know MTSU, for the past few years, they've been in kind of that rebuilding mode as well. When the club program came back a few years ago and a lot of people put in so much hard work, I know your captain, Nathaniel Wilson, put in a lot of work there, too. Jackson Taylor is one of the alternate captains. A lot of guys have put in a lot of work to build this program to where it is. So when you see the standings now where you guys are at as a club, how much does it mean to you, even as a freshman, to know that, hey, you guys are right in the thick of this now, and it shows just how much growth has gone into this team to be able to put you guys together like this?
Oh, yeah. It feels amazing. I've seen them play the past two or three years, and I will say that they weren't the best, and we're clearly still not the best. We have a lot of work to do, but seeing us building and growing as a team and as a family, it's really eye-opening, I guess.
Well, and a little different experience. I mean, like you said, you played junior with Flyers and you played GNash, and this is the next step, and who knows what could be next after this as well. I mean, maybe we'll see you in the SVHL, right? Whoa, what? Did not expect that reaction from you.
So
I got asked too, with your studies and everything as well, because obviously being a student athlete, do you have any idea what you're studying right now? Are you doing just general studies, or you kind of have something that's really kind of hitting your focus in college right now?
Right now, just trying to get through gen ed, but my major is leisure and sports management. So,
all right.
Actually, right before this call, I've been working on my math. So.
Well, I'm glad your studies are still a priority. That is, I know your dad's probably listening. He's like, mm-hmm. So you mentioned the Vanderbilt games, and you guys already had a series with them as well, too. And having that rivalry to where you each have your own home rink. I mean, MTSU's home rink is Florida Center down in Antioch. Vanderbilt's home rink is in Bellevue. Is that a pretty neat experience to have an in-town rival, even though they don't have local players, but just knowing that these are the two universities that represent Middle Tennessee in this conference? What's so fun about that rivalry already?
Just the thought of their team being just as young as ours. So we'll see these players. I mean, for me, I'll see these players the next three or four years, as well as a bunch of my teammates. I think we have, like, probably 6 to 8 freshmen, and around that number of sophomores too. So we have a very young team, and so do they. So these next three or four years will be very competitive and fun.
very competitive, and hopefully see you guys near the top as well, too, and competing in the tournament, which is going to be important coming up in the spring. So I'm sure this is one of those things that you guys see comments all the time whenever MTSU posts stuff is, oh, I didn't realize MTSU had a hockey team. I'm sure there's some people that might have stumbled upon the show and everything, too, that would like to know where they can see you play. So where can they see you play? Where can they find out more information to be able to come and see you guys live in action?
You can follow our Instagram. I believe it's MTSU Hockey. I'm sure if you just looked it up on Instagram, you could find it. But, yeah, we post all the games and some highlights and player spotlights on there. So you'll be able to see the schedule to know where we play. And it's Ford Ice Antioch is our home game.
Awesome. And I know you guys bring a crowd with all the local talent on that team. Bring a good local crowd there. Makes for a fun atmosphere. So, Lyndon, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck the rest of the season, and glad to see your career continuing to take off, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Folks, Lyndon Palmer, MTSU Hockey. Make sure you get down to Ford Ice Center down in Antioch to catch an MTSU home game, and especially that series that they'll split typically with a home and home with Vanderbilt. So at Bellevue or in Antioch at Ford Ice Center, it's fun to go and support these local clubs. And MTSU's making that push to be in the SEC-HC tournament coming up in March down in Huntsville. So that'll be it'd be great to see local teams making it there. I know Tennessee's been making a push as well. They're currently looking at 6 in the conference overall too, so it's good to see the Tennessee teams showing up like that.
Absolutely, with a lot of talent.
A lot of talent.
Exciting.
All right, up next, let's continue the college hockey focus. We're going to switch to the women's side of hockey with a huge event coming up in Nashville next weekend, the Smashville Women's College Hockey Showcase. We'll have Mackenzie Steffen, who played for the University of Wisconsin, the Badgers, is leading up the charge for that program right there, and learn more about what's coming up with all the different schools coming down to play in Nashville. So that's up next from Penalty Box here to ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back to Penalty Box Radio and ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, producer Kenny jamming behind the glass. I love it. Man,
he's a good dancer.
I love it, man.
You're a good dancer, Kenny.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I could learn a thing or two.
In the chair, too. All right, folks, really fun, exciting event coming up next weekend. It's the Smashville Women's Collegiate Hockey Showcase, which is also going to include a girls' hockey showcase as well, too. So many teams from across the country are going to be coming down to play in Nashville. Plus, NCAA Division I hockey teams, women's teams are coming to play. The Boston College Eagles, the Colgate Raiders, Mercyhurst Lakers, and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. A huge event next weekend, and tickets are on sale for Ford Ice Center Bellevue for that event on November 26th and 27th. And someone who played in that event back in 2019 with the Wisconsin Badgers is joining us right now from Total Package Hockey. Mackenzie Steffen is joining us right now to talk about the event coming up. Mackenzie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure.
So this is obviously a huge event. We've known about it for a while, but it is just around the corner now. What excites you the most about this event, not just for these D1 college teams coming in, but for all the girls' hockey teams coming in to play in this showcase?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. We have 32 youth Tier 1 girls' teams. We have teams coming from California, Arizona, Connecticut, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, really all over the country. And some of these players don't really get the opportunity to see these D1 teams live in action. So it'll be a super special event where all these youth girls will be able to watch the D1 teams face off. And it's just going to be super special for everyone.
And Mackenzie, digging a little bit deeper into that, as a gold medal recipient with the U.S. Under-18 national team yourself, what is the magnitude that you feel that this Women's College Hockey Showcase has on the younger generation of female players who are looking to kind of pave their own way into this space?
Yeah, I mean, it's truly incredible. Growing up, if I had an opportunity like this to really watch before my eyes some of the people I look up to and the level that I honestly dreamed of playing at such a young age would be such a cool experience. So it's really a really special opportunity for these young girls.
And it's apparent how much the sport has meant to you just by looking at everything that you've accomplished thus far. So coordinating girls hockey now with Total Package, Just personally for you, what has been the most rewarding thing for you as you continue to contribute growing the sport?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is just really helping in any way to grow girls hockey that I can. I just really want to leave the game better than I found it, and that's just my biggest thing. I'm especially doing down here in Nashville, just wherever I can pitch in and help out, I'm more than happy to do for the girls.
And again, Mackenzie Steffen of Total Package Hockey and formerly the Wisconsin Badgers joining us right now on Penalty Box Radio. Mackenzie, back in November 2019, did you think that you're going to be back in Nashville working in hockey at that moment?
I had literally no idea. I remember walking into the facilities, though. It was just when Ford had opened, and we were all just astonished on how beautiful the rink was. So it's truly an honor to be working here now with everyone at Ford and with the Preds. So it's really awesome. I'm really lucky.
And on top of that, just what was that experience like to traveling in some big teams? I mean, there are some implications in terms of the games being played, in terms of where all these teams were ranked back in 2019. So what was that experience like, not just knowing that you had a big crowd there watching you here in Nashville of all places too, but also knowing that you're playing very important games as part of the showcase?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you look at the lineup, three out of these four teams coming this weekend are top 10 teams. And I mean, everyone wants to come to the event. The Preds put on a world-class event. And to have high competition like it's going to be is just really an experience you can't get anywhere else other than at the Frozen Four, which is not until the end of the year. So it's unbelievable. It's really, really cool.
So let's go back to your career at Wisconsin. I mean, you closed it out being the captain of the team. I mean, obviously, successful career. What was that experience like for you playing college hockey and especially, you know, following that up from you were playing in Minnesota with high school hockey, you played in the World Juniors as well too, and won gold. But what was that experience like playing at Wisconsin, which is such a hockey hotbed when it comes to the sport?
Yeah, I grew up in Minnesota, like you said, so it was kind of always like, ooh, it's Gophers, Gophers, but they're coming to the tournament, which is super awesome. But Wisconsin was truly such an unbelievable experience. It's one of the coolest cities in the world. If you haven't been to Madison, you have to be there. But such a great athletic department. They support their women's sports so much, and it was just such an honor to play for the Badgers, and truly an experience that I'll never forget.
And as Glenn touched a little bit earlier, and as we've been talking about as well, this is a huge opportunity for girls to see that there is still a next step that can be taken in hockey as well. And as someone who recently graduated, what have you learned just since graduating as well, too, about your role and what you can continue to do to grow the sport? And what do you see for the future of the sport for girls and for women?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that's always stuck with me is just to leave the game better than I found it. That's why I love coaching these girls and helping them to see opportunities like these college teams playing, just so that they can truly see before their eyes that there is a future to girls hockey. And every day it's getting better because all these powerful women are fighting for better and equal opportunities. So it's really special to be a part of.
Well, and we see that too, because I know just back in the spring, I believe that's where they had the girls hockey program for young girls and for, I think, some teens as well too. And it was sold out. I mean, only for girls, which was awesome to see. I had a couple friends, their daughters participated in it too. And so we're seeing the sport continue to grow here in Nashville. And so as someone who is growing up in Minnesota and then played in Wisconsin as well, and you moved down here to Nashville, what are you seeing about the hockey community here and how much it is continuing to grow?
Yeah, the girls program that the Preds started last year, I think they sold it out in like hours. Like, it was just crazy. And there's a demand for the game, and there's a demand for the girls game. And it's really fun to be a part of, because everyone wants to play. They want to be introduced, and then they fall in love with the game. And that's how the game is. It's so fun to play, and it's so fun to have the teammates. So it's so unbelievable.
And I know, jumping around here, but as someone who is able to wear the Team USA jersey and being able to talk to people about that, and people know that you did that, what was that feeling like for you to know that you were representing your country on the ice? I know for any sport, when you're able to represent your country, it's a big deal. So what was that personally for you like?
Yeah, I mean, it's truly one of the highest honors you can do. And at age 18, it's kind of a lot to take in. But like I said, it's such an honor. And to play alongside some of the best girls in the world and to play against the best girls in the world is just really an unforgettable experience. So
going into this showcase with these four teams, do you have any predictions, or are you not allowed to have predictions on who might come away with two wins?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I might have Boston College in the first one. Boston College, I think they're 10 right now. I think Colgate's a little above them, but they made it to the championship when we played them. They ended up beating Minnesota, and they were the underdog then, too. Mm-hmm. So I might see them sneaking away to the championship. Right. And then I think Minnesota and Mercyhurst will be a good matchup, too. I don't know who will come out of that one.
All right, so we did get a little prediction there then. All right.
we won't tell anybody.
We won't tell anybody,
that.
Yeah. Just everybody on air. So before we have to let you go, when we have someone on for the first time, we love doing some get-to-know-you questions, especially from hockey players, and asking some lightning round questions. So we have about 2 minutes, and I know Glenn has a load of lightning round questions you'd like to ask you.
Just a few. So, all right.
Favorite
NHL arena?
Oh, gosh. Probably the Xcel Energy Center.
Knew it.
Your favorite city in the U.S. besides the one that you live in?
Madison, Wisconsin.
You prefer texting or talking on the phone?
Talking on the phone.
Whoa, okay.
Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or be able to talk to animals?
Talk to animals.
Me too. Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. Taylor Swift is blank.
A queen.
Did we just become best friends? Two questions in a row, I think we became best friends. Would you rather have invisibility or super strength?
Invisibility.
Oh, my gosh. What was the last song that you listened to?
Doing This by Luke Combs. Is that what the new one's called?
Maybe. I'm like, maybe. I don't know. I just listened to Taylor Swift is the only person I listened to. So
for 10 minutes, yes.
Oh, yes. If you could travel back in time, what time period would you go back to?
Elementary school.
Love it. Place that you most want to travel that you've never been?
Hawaii.
Yeah. Mm.
What's your favorite Halloween costume you've ever dressed up?
A lion.
Roar.
What's your favorite junk food?
Oh, gosh. Chocolate cake.
Oh, that makes me want chocolate cake now. Who was your first celebrity crush?
Probably all of the Jonas Brothers.
They're really good in concert, by the way.
I've never seen them. I've never seen them live.
How have I seen them and you haven't?
That actually doesn't surprise me in the least bit.
They were great when they were here a few months ago.
So are you into Harry Potter? Because I have a Harry Potter question.
No, not at all.
Okay. Then I'll ask Justin. Justin, if Voldemort offered you a hug, would you accept it? No.
No! What kind of question is that?
Well, can you name one of the seven dwarves of Snow White?
I don't think I can.
Oh, no.
Was there a sleepy, sneezy?
Grumpy. I think? Doc.
Yeah, grumpies.
Yeah. Glenn's going to be grumpy. He didn't even get that. Well, that derailed. Mackenzie, we appreciate your time so much, and just looking forward to next weekend, and just appreciate being able to get to know you a little bit better.
Yes, thank you guys so much for having me.
Absolutely, folks. That is Mackenzie Steffen. She is the girls hockey coordinator at Total Package Hockey and event coordinator as well. The big event coming up next weekend, the Smashville Collegiate Hockey Showcase. Make sure you get tickets. Information is available on the Natural Predators website and on their social media. You can see it there too. That is a great way to take your kids to see college hockey, and especially taking your girls to see college hockey to see what they could be doing when they grow up and get a little bit older, to get scholarships to go and play the sport they love and to be able to go to school just like the boys.
And I love what Mackenzie said, that she says she wants to leave it the sport better than she found it for
100%,
girls.
100%. Love that. All right. Well, up next, let's answer some questions, because we had plenty come in from Twitter.
That's a beautiful song, Justin.
Oh, thank you so much. That's up next here on Penalty Box Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford. Glenn Blackwell, producer Kenny. See, I let songs breathe, unlike Mr. Poor.
Yes.
I let them breathe.
Gotta let them breathe.
Sound like 3 seconds in. Welcome back to Fred's Insiders.
No, you gotta get the goodness. You gotta get the feels, yeah, you know?
Feel. It gets me pumped and rolling. I still love you, Porth. Please have me on the show again. Thanks. All right. Let's go to our questions. First one. Oh, boy. This one comes from Nick Rogers. Does ketchup belong on a hot dog? There is a correct answer.
There is a correct answer.
Oh, okay.
Now, if I'm going to eat a hot dog, which I don't anymore, because I used to love hot dogs as a child, and absolutely, you have to have ketchup on a hot dog.
Okay. Okay. Uh-oh. You know me. I've been very opinionated on food things before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very like hot dog sandwich, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
The pandemic taught me a lot, which was I don't care as long as you're happy.
Mm.
If ketchup on a hot dog makes you happy, put ketchup on a hot dog. I prefer mustard. Other people prefer mustard, but I'm not gonna tell you what you can and cannot put on a hot dog. If it makes you happy and it tastes good to you, put it on the dang hot dog.
I like multiple things on a hot dog if I'm going to eat one.
Yeah, I enjoy mustard and relish and onions.
Ew, gross.
Wow. I felt like I was in fifth grade again.
I know. I was just trying to be
booger in my nose.
Trying to be funny because you just said,
gross.
Whatever you want on a hot dog, you eat on a hot dog. And then I turned it around and I was acting disgusted.
You became one of those people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to me during COVID. I became one of those people.
Oh, one of the seven doors called grumpy.
Actually, I'm just sleepy all the time.
Oh, well, that's fair. All right. This one comes from Becca. Who is the better Scrooge, Michael Caine or Patrick Stewart? Oh, this is a difficult question.
That's a really, really solid question.
It is a solid question.
But if I'm having to pick, I'm going to go with Michael Caine. Because it's the Muppets.
Yeah, that's where Muppets. I go with. Obviously, I love Patrick Stewart. I mean, he's a treasure. But Michael Caine, because I just have this wonderful connection to the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
that was a good question. That's tough.
A very good question. This one comes from Matt. Why does Harper keep getting chances? Because people keep getting injured, unfortunately. Anyways.
It's about the only reason.
Yeah, this one comes from Jack. Which song is more catchy? Everybody, Everybody by Black Box or Careless Whisper by George Michael?
Well, this is coming from Jack, so I think Jack probably knows that my answer is always going to be George Michael's Careless Whisper. It's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah. You got to cue it up.
Let it breathe.
I
breathe. Oh,
I know we don't have a lot of time, but just let it breathe. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, see,
I mean, if you see me driving around Nashville, there's a solid chance that could be playing.
And I'm playing air sax. No matter
there
what.
There you go.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I've done it in the locker room before Muddy Drunks games, after Muddy Drunks games.
To this song?
Yeah, to Careless Whisper.
It's so good.
Now, Everybody is very catchy as well, and I do enjoy that song.
Yeah, but no, it's not. It's nothing
Ow.
Compared. It's got nothing on George.
Ow. It's got nothing on George Michael. All right, here we go. This one comes from Johnny. Throwing out last night's result against for the Coyotes. Are the Coyotes going to finish with more or less wins than the 75 Caps? Heck, did they even get as many wins as those Caps got at home that season, which was 7?
Oh, I was about to say I have to look up the 75 Caps.
So last week we had Craig Morgan on from Phoenix Sports, who is basically in his discussions and everything, the Coyotes are tanking. Like, they're doing it without saying they're doing it. So he's even written a guide on how to cheer for a tanking team, because the way they built that roster is to tank. They're trying to tank because all the draft picks they have in the first two rounds is incredible. So, I mean, I think it's difficult in this era right now for them to beat that record. Mm-hmm. I think they'll just run into a couple streaks where they'll be hungry enough to win some games. They're going to be awful overall. I mean, that is the bottom of the bottom for the Central, no matter what.
But I think even when you're purposely tanking, you're still going to win some games.
You're still going to win like 20 games.
Yeah, you're still going to do it. So I don't think it'll be as bad as 7 for sure.
Right.
Because typically when you're trying to do one thing, sometimes you're going to end up doing the other. So you're going to win some games.
Right.
It'll happen.
Okay, this one comes from Alex. If Duchesne and Johansson keep up the current pace they're on to start the season, and assuming the wheels don't fall off completely, do they have a case to make the playoffs and possibly make another deep playoff run? First of all, I'll go and say this before I say whatever I believe. Anything can happen when you make the playoffs. There are so many teams that have proven that. You can predict it sometimes. You can't predict it all the times. Experts can get it wrong quite often. Nashville versus Chicago in 2017. Mm-hmm. They can get things wrong. You just do not know, because any team could click and something special could happen. The elements have to be in place for that to happen. You can't take the Coyotes, throw them in the playoffs, and think they're going to make a run, because they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a team that could have a goalie that could steal games. That is always the key. We've talked about that how many times,
yep.
Right? A goaltender that can steal games is the key element to success in the playoffs. You can have a great offense, you can have a great defense, but if your goaltender plays out of his mind, like Cesaros did to close out the season to make that run just to make the playoffs, anything can happen. So before I hand it over to Glenn, they absolutely have a case to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing right now like a team that should make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's still going to be some streakiness that'll happen just naturally because it's sports and streaks will happen in sports. But if you have a goaltender like Cesaros that can stand on his head and they can pot in some unique, timely goals, anything can happen. I will not put any money on that at all, unless you want to put $10 on something and be like, if they win, they win. Fine. But it's not a betting thing for me to say, yeah, the Predators are going to make a deep run right now. They're playing like a playoff team right now. It's still very early on in the season, and enjoy it however long it lasts, that they're performing as young as they are, as a fun team to watch that are going to be in every game they're playing so far. Anything can change. Anything can happen in the playoffs.
Yeah. And I agree with you. Anything can happen in the playoffs, which is why I think in this case scenario, like you said, if all the elements are there and you have a solid goaltender in Cesaros, which you do, in this particular scenario that Alex presented, if that's the case, and Duchesne and Johansson keep up the current pace that they're on, and assuming the wheels don't fall off, absolutely, the Predators can get into the playoffs. And if that team gets into the playoffs playing that way, they could make a deep run.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not predicting that they absolutely will, but if this case scenario presented itself, absolutely, they can make another deep run.
This one comes from Scott. We discussed Josi being a possible candidate for the Norris this year in a previous episode. Josi had to defend both the Matthews and Tavares lines last night and kept them to one goal overall, with a lot of help from Cesaros, though. Who else would you pick to be in the running for the Norris? I mean, the one of the top ones that's going to be up there is, again, Adam Fox. It's not just on point production, but, I mean, he's a defending winner of it. He's 16 points as well as Josi as well. Then, I mean, in terms of production, you're going to have other players up there like, unfortunately, Tony DeAngelo, Quinn Hughes, Kevin Shanker, who's playing out of his mind right now, Victor Hedman, Tampa Bay, is always going to be discussed as well because he's one of the top defensemen in the league. It is weird seeing Shane Gostisbehere with how bad Arizona is as well up there. Then you have your other ones that probably haven't hit their stride yet in terms of some of the younger players like Miro Heiskanen will be thrown up there as well. But I think Adam Fox is probably the biggest competition to Josi right now with the way you see it. It's just going to come down, as we see, with voting and how the rest of the season plays out for sure.
Yep, absolutely. Just basically what you said, because you covered a lot of the people. Victor Hedman, I was going to jokingly but not so jokingly say, like, obviously he's always going to be right up there. So that's who I would say to be in the running. But, yeah, I mean, Josi, man. Whew.
Yeah.
He just continues to build a case for himself.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. This one comes from Milo. If they won't keep the pace, could the return of Forsberg partly compensate whatever they may lose, given players like Tomasino, Tolvanen, Novak, and even Afanasyev stepping up? In such a case, when would you guys see the ceiling for the Preds? So this is if the Predators are somehow not in the run and Forsberg has shown all implications that he's not going to re-sign. One, do you trade him? Yes, you absolutely do. And you should get a pretty decent return overall, because it's not necessarily a cap issue for this team where teams are like, oh, well, you have a cap issue, we're going to give you a little. Teams are going to be competing for Philip Forsberg. Even though he's injury prone right now, they're still going to want him because he can still help a team make a playoff run. So yeah, if that's the case, you do that. But you only do that if you know he's not going to re-sign or he's giving you any implication he's not. If he's kind of being shifty on things, you still trade him. You cannot have another Ryan Suter situation enter you to where he leaves you for nothing. There's so much you could gain from trading Philip Forsberg if the time comes.
But only if the time comes.
Only if the time comes. All right, I think we might have missed a few questions. We got so many. Thank you so much for all of those that always participate. We appreciate it. Miss anything, make sure you subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And for producer Kenny, Glenn, and thank you so much to our guests. This is Justin Bradford. Thanks so much for listening to Penalty to Box Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.